Support for programming comes from Pinnacle Bank, where serving customers beyond day-to-day transactions is the Texas way. Pinnacle Bank provides solutions based on local needs and personal relationships. And at Pinnacle Bank, we think that's the way banking should be. Visit us online at pinnbanktx.com. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
It's the show you don't want to miss. The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Stay tuned as Elissa goes up close and personal with some of the biggest names in the world of sports. From Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame quarterback Roger Staubach to legendary broadcaster Pat Summerall. Think big. Think big. It's all happening right here on the Big E Sports Show.
Glad you're along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. And by now, you have heard about it all week long, the biggest story in college football, and of course, the allegations against the University of Miami and the ex-Miami booster, Nevin Shapiro, of course, now serving 20 years in federal prison. He claims that he treated players with lavish gifts, cash, nightclub outings, et cetera, et cetera. We are always delighted to welcome back into our program. He is a well-known sports writer. He's a sports talk radio personality, the great Buddy Martin. Thank you for joining us, Buddy.
Made me feel so good. Why don't you have me on more often?
I know. We need to increase the reps on that. And now that college football is literally 2 weeks away, I can promise you, you'll be on at least once a month. But I've got to ask you, you know, it's kind of tough segueing into the college football season under these circumstances. I mean, the NCAA now investigating improper benefits and talking about 72 football players and other athletes from Miami from 2002 to 2010. What was your reaction when you heard this story? You, of course, are right there in the state of Florida.
Yeah, it's debatable whether Miami is in the state of Florida. Gator fans will tell you they think about like in Cuba, but that's another story. Certainly, a great program and one that is going through the phase I call the good, the bad, and the ugly. We've had the good, now we're getting the bad and the ugly. College football, the greatest game in my opinion that's out there right now, is really taking some major hits in the last 6 to 8 months. Not the least of which was the Cam Newton episode, the Ohio State issues. Now comes this ugly thing, which infects a lot of people. I think it's almost like a virus. It has tentacles which reach out to various programs, including University of Florida, because one of the coaches there, Aubrey Hill, is a wide receiver coach at Florida, and two Florida players were named by Shapiro as guys he entertained. So now, having said that, I have no doubt that there's some validity. Like Grandma used to say, when there's smoke, there's fire. There's something has gone badly wrong here. Let's be careful, though, to point out that Nevin Shapiro is a convicted felon serving 20 years in prison right now. So it's a little bit self-serving on his part as well. But there is some stuff going on. It doesn't shock me based on what I know about the culture of recruiting, the culture of football, the culture of even youth football, of entitled athletes, which has gotten totally out of control. And there is something badly wrong right now with the value system. The core values of college football, in my opinion, really are in trouble.
What will it take to get things back in control? I mean, you're talking about a scandal that has just, it's been unprecedented over the past 12 months. We talk about USC, Ohio State, North Carolina. These are major schools, and the list continues to go on and on.
As long as there's the big money that it's there, there's always going to be corruption. You know, and the fact that the SEC rules the roost right now, five consecutive BCS championships, great athletes, great programs, money galore, it's bound to rear its ugly head in the SEC over and over again as it did at Auburn. We still don't know what's going to happen there. There have been many, many other issues that have been discussed. The worst part about it is it starts at age 9, 10, 11, 12. If you ever saw the program Outside the Lines on the ESPN, which talked about youth football programs in Miami and how documentation of parents who sell their players to play on peewee teams and get $4,000 and $5,000 for their kids to play for a team, and the amount of gambling that goes on among people in the stands for those peewee games, you know right off the bat it's a sick culture. And all those kids who play basically for money at 11 or 12, what do you think they're going to expect when they go to college? Expect money to be put in their palm of their hand. So it starts at the youth level. It starts with the values of our families, our country, and our states, and our organizations, and our local municipalities. There's a real problem there. And I know it's far bigger than the NCAA can police. It's far bigger than the federal government can police. and is getting totally out of control.
We are talking one-on-one with Buddy Martin. He is a renowned sports journalist. He is an author and also a sports talk radio host. And I think one of the things that concerned me the most, and perhaps, Buddy, was the most disturbing, is that Mr. Shapiro's, of course, he had the access to the players, but there were coaches that were aware of the happenings and had direct knowledge of just these violations that were being committed, and they chose not to report them.
Well, that's what gets you a death penalty. If you don't, when you start not reporting things and then lying about what you're doing, the NCAA has got that sword out, and they will use it. The only thing that spared Ohio State was they came clean. They fired their coach. They admitted their wrongdoing. They imposed sanctions on themselves. At least they tried to do something about it. It was a little bit too late, of course. Most of it was window dressing, but at least they complied and tried to show that they were contrite about it. When you start covering things up, well, that's what got water. That's what brought Watergate about and brought down the presidency. So what's really worrisome about it is that where does this thing lead to? Is this just the tip of the iceberg, Alyssa? That's what I'm worried about.
Buddy Martin with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We do want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. And I know, Buddy, you're always producing some great articles. Where can they go and check out some of your information?
In the process right now of actually starting my own website again, which I have not got up. And in the process of, as you know, Alyssa, I'm going to be doing a new radio program here in the area, and it will be 1 hour of sports and 2 hours of community things, and I will have a website and an address for all of that next time I talk to you. But at the moment, it's just old Buddy Martin, and I have an email address called buddyshow@AOL.com. If you want to write me a note, I'll be glad to respond to you.
Congratulations on that, Buddy. It sounds exciting. We'll talk some more about that, but let's get back to talking about this Miami situation, because I think as a parent, you know, these coaches, they look you in the eye, they promise that they're going to watch after your kids. And when I heard the allegations that, you know, that there were these parties and prostitutions, that was just unbelievable.
It is the worst case scenario. And when you get to it, it is really a meat market now for talent in college football. It certainly isn't exactly heartwarming to hear that Cam Newton's father was out there shopping him around for $200,000. Again, getting back to the culture, this is what the culture of football has become from the youth on up. And I don't know how you fix that, as we said. It is certainly a worst-case scenario. However, it's not the only case. Certainly the whole tattoo parlor thing in Ohio State wasn't very pretty. There are many, many stories out there we have not yet heard about. How the NCAA is going to be able to police this, I don't know. But certainly it's going to fall upon the universities themselves some way, and somehow their compliance programs are going to have to do some screening of athletes, and sometimes they're going to have to pass on five stars. You know, it's all about the money. It's about winning. Getting five-star athletes, recruiting is bigger than ever, because why? You get invited to BCS Bowls, you make money, the programs make money. Not only does the athletic department want money, the universities want money. And in many cases, like in Texas and Florida, the sports programs give money to the administration. So when you get money involved, everybody's in collusion, because everybody benefits from it. So it's a real dangerous precedent. It's a real dangerous environment until somebody with an honest man steps forward, a woman, and says, enough is enough. We're not going to have this. We may go, 8-4 next year or whatever, but we're not going to allow this at our university. Let's see who the first university is to step up and do that.
Buddy, and perhaps I'm just naive, I had no idea that it was this wide-ranging. And what, you know, is bothersome is the fact that Miami, they've been around this block before. I mean, didn't they have the big Pell Grant thing that was going on in the early 90s?
Randy Shannon supposedly cleaned up the whole program. That's why he got the job. He had the right motivation. I'm not sure Randy Shannon is complicit in this, but certainly it happened on his watch, so he has to be responsible for part of it. But his whole thing was to change the culture. That's what you haven't heard anything bad about Miami in a long time. This now is not just the Miami program. These are other people who have now gone on to other schools and athletes playing other places who are all part of this. These camps, these shoe camps that you have out there, these 7-on-7 programs, they're all built on the same premise. It's all about getting talent, finding the talent, identifying the talent. It's a meat market. And it's the feeder system for the university. So what are you going to do? Everybody else is winning championships. You're sitting there winning 7 games a year. You're going to get fired next year if you don't win more than 7. So they say, well, let's just bend the rules and go get us some players. And there you go. Again, it's about the money.
Certainly an embarrassing day. It's been an embarrassing week for the University of Miami. But what do you do if you are Al Golden? Here he is in his first season, and boy, what a mess he's got to deal with and that is on his hands. How do you prepare yourself for something like this?
I feel sorry for him because I think he's a good man. I think he probably gets it. I love his quote about swagger. When someone asked about why Miami didn't have swagger anymore, he says, you know, swagger is not a product, it's a byproduct. It comes when you win. You don't win because you have swagger. I think he has the right idea about what he wants the program to be, but this is a major setback for him. It's going to affect some of his athletes. So that Will Muschamp, he's got a couple of guys, Andre DeBose, wide receiver, terrific talent. You know, somebody they're counting on to be used this year. He and Matt Patchen, they're probably going to be our starting tackle. They were both invited to this, and Aubrey Hill, the wide receiver coach, was at Miami when all this happened, and it was apparently at one of these parties. So it's not going to end there. It has a lot of tentacles. Like I said, it's viral. It's going to be affecting other programs. And again, bad people like Shapiro, you know, like they had, remember a guy named Tank Black who years ago did the same thing with athletes?
Yeah.
Several University of Florida athletes involved. There's always going to be predators out there, and how you guard them from the predators, I do not know.
Buddy Martin along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We do need to take time to recognize a couple of our terrific sponsors. That's the friends at Pinnacle Bank. We want to direct you to their website. That is PINNBankTX.com. And also the good friends at Western Company of Texas, WCT.US.com. And as you said, you know, your heart goes out to Al Golden. I kind of feel like he was duped. I mean, why was he not informed before he came on board of the existence of this investigation before taking the job?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm not sure exactly why or if who knew what. That's what we have to find out, Lisa. Who knew what when? The thing about you have to realize at this point in time, the NCAA has no subpoena powers. Now, they can go and investigate. They can ask people to come and, you know, the school. They can certainly control the investigations of the school. But when you get with the criminal element, which this guy is a felon, they don't have any subpoena powers unless the federal government or local government gets involved. So it's going to have to be some kind of either grand jury investigation. There are state laws against things like this, certainly when it deals with agents and what have you. And he needs to be prosecuted under that state law as well. He's already serving 20 years. So let's see what happens. Is he trying to sell a book? Maybe that's one of the reasons he's coming out with all this stuff. Maybe he's going to do a book on the corruption of college football. Unfortunately, we have to believe a convicted felon to make this work. But there is something going on here. It's frightening. I don't know how Miami got into it. I'm sure Al Golden would have had some reservations, perhaps, had he known. Maybe they didn't know.
Well, and the other thing I want to talk to you about, and Urban Meyer was asked this, as far as how does this affect recruiting in the state of Florida? Because it is such a hotbed for talent. I mean, what are some of the long-term effects that you would envision, buddy?
Unless there's an investigation and a penalty, it probably won't affect it at all. Because, you know, there's no doubt that somewhere something's going to be handed down, mostly at the University of Miami. I think what we'll find out is that because you went to a party when you were being a recruit and then went to school someplace else, the institution can't be held liable for it because they didn't, you know, he wasn't committed. These guys weren't committed to Florida. Where they get in a little bit of trouble is maybe with a coach who was at the party and then was hired. That could be perhaps some kind of reprimand involved there. But I don't know the NCAA bylaws by heart, and I think there will be some punishment meted out on this thing. It's going to take time to sort it out. Look how long it took for Ohio State to deal with this. Look at USC. This is stuff they won't know about for a year or more to come, unless the government gets involved and indictments are handed out. So I don't think it will affect recruiting all that much. I've been through these before, Lisa. As you say, I've been covering college football over 30 years. I remember when Florida almost got the death penalty in the 80s. You know, in the program, look what it's become since that time. Thanks mostly to Steve Spurrier, who brought it back not just as a winning program, but also cleaned it up. So I think people will continue to go to universities and schools. They have great programs. I think Florida is a great state for college, for high school football. They have a feeder system here, and they'll continue to recruit some of the best athletes in America. But it will impact some of the people on the universities, how they pick their talent and who they pick. They need to be a little more prudent about the background of the kids they're getting to play for the university.
You know, buddy, as a journalist, as you said, you know, been in this business for 30-some years, though, when you sit down at the computer, do you just kind of step back and go, wow, do you believe any college program is clean? I mean, where is the integrity in sports?
Be honest with you, no, I do not. I think everybody has a skeleton in their closet of some sort. The question is, how bad of a skeleton is it? How big is it? How long has it been there? Someone tried to suggest to me today, who on another show, who is a Miami fan, says, well, look, everybody's doing this. What's the big deal? Well, there's a difference in the felon and the guy who has a traffic ticket. You know, there's a whole lot of difference in the two. All the crimes aren't the same, and they shouldn't be treated as such. But are they all guilty of something? Yes. The big thing is, do they self-report? What is their motivation? Are they clean? Are they trying to do the right thing? You're always going to have boosters, and certainly remember SMU. I covered that great team SMU had when they beat Pitt in the bowl in Dallas, a Cotton Bowl. They were handing out $100 bills, the golden handshake, in the SMU locker room. What happened to that program? It never has recovered. So it's been going on a long time, and it probably will continue to go on. I'm not sure how to fix it. I just know it's what's happening right now is an embarrassment to everybody, especially college football.
So do you think that potentially that Miami, they really could look at the severity and perhaps the death penalty?
Well, they've stopped handing out the death penalty. And I guess the reason being that it's self-defeating. You know, think about it. I mean, they're going to say, well, what good does it do us to put the clamp on a program that's producing revenue as a part of the NCAA and what have you? You know, should we in fact be, you know, what should we go lighter and give them a chance to redeem themselves? That's why they like to run the self-police. But, yeah, I mean, I think the death penalty is on the table. I just think the NCAA is reluctant to hand it out anymore.
The start of the college football season, it is hard to believe it is less than 2 weeks away. We are talking with Buddy Martin, well-known writer and a very good friend of our program. Let's shift avenues and move ahead and talk about something a little bit more happy. Let's talk about your Florida Gators. A lot of excitement, you know, and optimism coming into this season. They've got a brand new head coach in Will Muschamp, and they've got Charlie Weiss on board. I think he's going to be a real difference maker for this team.
Everything I've read and heard about Charlie Weiss has been positive. Which is interesting because he was not a popular figure around here in Florida program for whatever reason. But he has really made a lot of friends. He actually moved to my hometown of Ocala, and he has a horse farm. His daughter has a special needs child. He moved down here and put her in the special needs school, which he says is really a great place for her to be. His wife is a horsewoman. He has a horse farm, but she has horses on it. So he is very happy, and his son wants to be a coach. So he is freshman in Florida, is going to be a graduate assistant. So it's all about lifestyle for Charlie. The biggest thing he's got going right now is, can he rehabilitate, if that's the right word, John Brantley? We know John Brantley has the talent. He certainly has proved that by being the national Gatorade player of the year in high school, playing for his dad at Trinity Catholic. So we know he's got the talent. Last year, he had the unfortunate circumstance of following a legend, the greatest college football player in history, University of Florida, if not America, Tim Tebow. How could you ever look good doing that? But John had some problems last year. He didn't get a lot of protection. He lost some of his weapons. He didn't make good decisions. And he became a bruised and battered quarterback in more ways than one. And that's what Charlie Weiss is focused on since springtime, is getting John's mind around the game again. I've just got a feeling if he gets past the first four games, which I think they should. They should beat Tennessee. And they get in the game against Alabama in game five in the Swamp. They'll be able to make their bones right there. They don't have to win that game. Just play well against Alabama. I think Johnny Brantley will be back and have a good year. If not, Jeff Driscoll, a really promising freshman, is sitting right behind him, ready to move in.
And I'm curious. I mean, I'm not sure if you've been over to camp so far, but how has John, how is the quarterback, John Brantley, progressing, and how is he looking so far in the preseason?
All we know is what they tell us. They close all practices. No media allowed in any practice. We hear he's looked very sharp. His teammates say, we've got confidence in John. We've always had confidence in John. Now John has confidence in himself. But in terms of how he's looked, we won't know until the opening game.
Okay, now I am curious. I mean, is Florida, are they lacking a lot of star power this season? Because as I understand, none of the Gator players made the preseason all-SEC first team. There were no names on that list.
That's bogus. It's totally bogus. And part of it is they're to blame because they pulled down the shade the moment Urban Meyer left, and they stopped talking to people, stopped having conversations. Coaches don't talk to individuals. As you know, I had a very good relationship with the whole coaching staff when Urban Meyer was here.
Yes.
Not because I was special, but I could, you know, try it with you. You can't get a telephone conversation with you. You can't see practice. How would we know? For all that we know, they've got Red Grange over there, and we wouldn't know about
yeah.
it. You know? But they've got talent. They have got talent, and you've got two tailbacks, particularly Chris Rainey, who's going to have, I think, a banner year, and Jeff Dempsey, the fastest man in college football. They got speed. They got some terrific wide receivers and guys like Omarius Hine, Andre Bose. They've got a pretty good offensive line defensively. Ronald Powell is going to be a star, in my opinion. They've got they got some talent on the defensive line. They're a little green in the secondary. They've got talent. Don't let anybody tell you that. But right now, it's the year of the Gamecock, and South Carolina's getting all the love. And then when they went to the Birmingham to the SEC media days, nobody was talking about the Florida program. And I made a point on my radio show to say, well, because University of Florida's not talking about their program.
Right.
You don't hear them bringing up names of players. You don't hear them talking about what kind of team they're going to have. So therefore, out of sight, out of mind. And so people have just sort of forgot about the Florida Gators, which is exactly what Will Muschamp wants.
Okay, so Will Muschamp, as he proceeds ahead now in his first year as being the head coach, do you think he's just being cautiously optimistic? Why do you think he's, you know, closing everything down and being so protective?
I think he's being beyond cautiously optimistic. I think he's actually he's become clandestine. You know what he's doing. He said openly he wants to have the surprise element.
Okay.
I even asked him a question about the color of the jerseys, because there's a story going around that we have not confirmed. They may bring out the old orange jerseys, which, by the way, everybody hates around here. They're back in the 80s. But when Will Muschamp was a young man growing up in Gainesville, rooting for Tony Lilly as his favorite defensive back, they wore orange jerseys. And I said to Will Muschamp at the SEC meetings, do you think he'll bring the orange jerseys back? You know what he said to me? Come to the first game and find out.
Oh, gosh. Only a couple more minutes this weekend with Buddy Martin. We're enjoying our conversation with him. And I tell you, when you look up and down the Gators' schedule, do you like the layout? I find it kind of interesting. Of course, you're going to open up the season against Florida Atlantic. That is, we know him from Oklahoma, Howard Schnellenberger.
Yeah, he's stepping aside here, Dale. Howard is. But I tell you, I think they beat Kentucky, Tennessee and Kentucky. They go 4-0, and they got Alabama. In the month of October, if you look at that lineup, it's brutal.
Alabama, October 8th at LSU,
right.
And then the 15th at Auburn.
And don't forget Georgia. You're coming up right after that.
That's right, on the 29th.
So that's, in my mind, that is the most difficult October of any team in America right there. And if they can come out of that October, if they go 4-0 and they beat two of those four, one has to be Georgia. They'll be just fine, because the big game will be 2 weeks after that at South Carolina, who is the pride of the East right now. And so I think those are the defining games for them in terms of having any kind of chance to get back to Atlanta, which has always been the goal. They can still lose two games and still get to Atlanta, because they'll be losing to SEC West teams, so they can still get there. But they have to beat South Carolina to get that. Then at the end of the season, they finish off with Florida State, no bargain there. So they're looking at, that's why Vegas has got them at 7.5 in terms of how they, with over-under on wins right now. It's a difficult schedule to analyze. I see this as an 8-win season. If they got really good and really lucky, then maybe they could win 9. This is not, in my mind, a contending team for an SEC championship, or certainly not a national championship. There's a lot of love going to the South Carolina Gamecocks right now, who, by the way, in the latest Sports Illustrated poll, they're ranked 7th in the country.
Now, Buddy, of course, last year the Gators were 8-5. How restless would they become if Will Muschamp, as you're saying, that they finish with 8 wins this year?
I think they give him a pass this year. I think he'll be okay this year. They'll be all right. The expectations aren't as high as they used to be. Ticket sales are down because of the economy. You never heard of tickets being available here for the last 25 years. There are tickets for sale for every game right now, which is unheard of.
Wow.
But people aren't sure what to expect. I think Muschamp gets a pass. I think he's looking to next year, probably is the year he'll put his stamp on the team. But the program definitely is taking a step backwards. There's no question about that. And they're going to have to re-earn their spurs. They're going to have to prove to the world that these Florida Gators are what Urban Meyer, on the same caliber, what he did when he won 2 national championships and 2 SECs. And by the way, won 65 games. So I don't think there'll be another era like that at Florida, maybe ever.
You are out there in SEC country. What do you think about this potential move of Texas A&M heading to the SEC? It seems like they have a little bit of a love affair going on there.
I think right now, if A&M had been invited to join the SEC, they'd be in it. But I also think that they're not going to take A&M by themselves. They have got to have a dance partner to make a 14-team league. if your school, Oklahoma, had come courting, then I think they'd have to give it serious possibilities. I think anything involving Texas, of course, if you had Texas and Texas A&M, which isn't going to happen because the Longhorns obviously rule the world with their own network now, but if you had that combination, that would be something. But A&M by itself is not a fit. It's a terrific program, and they got tons of Aggies who follow that, and they got a lot of money and whatever, but it is the Southeastern Conference, not the Southwestern Conference.
Yeah.
And geographically, it's not a fit. I think they'd be willing to alter that if they had a Texas or Oklahoma to come with them. But I think they will expand at some point. I think Texas A&M is on the table. Whether they get in or not depends on what the other schools are and whether they come with them.
Real quick, you think they'll expand? We're talking like next year? Are we 2 years out? I mean, when do you think this will all go down?
I don't think anything happens for a year. And then that would take another year to change the schedule. So we're looking at a couple years at least.
The great Buddy Martin has been with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. You can go to our radio website at eradiosports.com and click on the e-podcast page. You can listen to this interview in its entirety. Buddy, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you again real soon. Don't work too hard.
Sure, anytime, Alyssa.
We're going to step aside. Jason Peter will be with us in just a minute. We're going to be talking our Under the Helmet segment. Stay close.